We are mostly live and completely local. This is Metro South Podcasting.
Welcome to The Big Show with Ron Van Dam. Sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us and how it affects us here on the South Shore of Massachusetts. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Hello. Is this thing on? Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. My name is indeed... Oh, crap. I always mess this part up. It's Ron Van Dam. Oh, yeah, I remember. I have short-term memory loss. How you doing? Welcome to the program. It's Thursday, September 11th. Ooh. Ouch. Thursday, September 11th, 2014. In the year of our pants. Yeah. Hey. Gotta be said, it's September 11th, okay? There was an event that every single year, probably for 50 years, maybe 100, this date will be specifically discussed, reviewed, revered, you name it, you got it. This is the date. I mean, Christmas, I don't know when that is. I think it's like December 22nd, December 25th, obviously. But I think more people would remember the date September 11th than any other date connected to any other event, holiday, whatever. And in a sense, that's sad because it was a horrible event, and yet that's the date that as soon as you say it, it's like, whoa. And of course, it's also interesting because 9/11 is also the number or sequence that you dial if there's an emergency. It just is kind of freaky crazy. So whenever you say 9/11, people go there, and that's where it is today. It's for many people, of course, it's a day of, well, it's far more than just remembering a date of a horrible occurrence. It was probably the day of their worst day of their lives. Their families broke up, loss of family members, the most traumatic series of events in a personal life you can possibly imagine if you knew somebody or were a family member of somebody in that circumstance. I mean, that's understandably engraved in your head for the rest of your living days. But as a society in the United States, yeah, very, very similar, believe it or not, to everybody. And probably for most around the world, except for some guy living probably in India who's too busy telemarketing to know what day it is. And I mean that from my heart. Yeah, I got a call yesterday. Oh, God. I got a call yesterday to my house. And even though I have caller ID, I tend to pick up the phone in my house anyway. Because I don't know if it's a family member or what. And I actually have the speaking caller ID on my phone system where this robotic voice, like back from the 60s and 70s, will announce who the caller is. But they never really say, because the announcement is so automated that you can't understand what they're saying. For example, and I'll try to do a theater presentation of what my vocal caller ID sounds like. Let's say there's a call from Walgreens Pharmacy to tell me that my prescription is ready. And I'm not divulging what prescription it is, just saying. It'll say this. This is what the automated voice sounds like. This is, ladies and gentlemen, a call from Walgreens to my house using this vocal caller ID system that I have on my phones. Here it is.
Call from Walgreens. Call from Walgreens.
What the hell is that? What? Call from what?
Okay.
That doesn't sound like Walgreens to me.
Call from home.
So it doesn't really make any difference. So I go to the phone, I pick it up, and I hear the following.
Hello, is this a business owner? Excuse me? Hello, is this a business owner?
Kind of sounds like you're my vocal caller ID because I can't understand a damn word you're saying.
Is it a business owner?
Are you asking me if I'm the business owner?
Is it a business owner?
Yeah, I suppose. What?
It is, what it is, you have been selected to register manager.
I what? I've been selected for what?
When you selected for this job,
I've been selected for selective service?
No. Is it a business owner?
Yes, it is.
You've been selected for the job.
Why? What are you telling me? I've been selected for what?
You've been selected for the job.
I've been selected for something?
Yes, you've been selected for the job.
Uh-huh. Oh, not interested.
Well, you have already won. And all you have to do is answer a few simple questions. Have you got a sepatite?
I got a what?
Have you got a sepatite?
I don't have a sepatite. What are you talking about?
Have you got a penis?
Have I got a penis?
Have you got a sepatite?
I'm sorry, I'm not interested. Apparently, if you hang on long enough, his English doesn't get any better than that. And he's obviously from India. I don't think he's calling me from Brooklyn or, like, you know, from Mattapan. Obviously from India, because they do that. And, you know, every time this happens, I say to myself immediately, God love these people. Not the Indians necessarily, but God love anybody that got a job and can pay their bills and their rent and their home and their car payments and their phone bills, etc. I mean, God love you, man. I mean, if you need money, you need to do what you can do. I mean, you're not hurting anybody. Well, actually, you are. You're not hurting anybody, like, really. So this is the job you got. I don't know if this guy, this Indian guy, is proud of what he does. I don't think he gives a crap. I think he's feeding his family of 18, and it's important for him to have a job. And God love him. He doesn't own this company. He's just doing what he's supposed to do and trying to do it in the best way possible to get bonus bucks. I guess if you I've never telemarketed before because I don't like people, which actually might be a good reason to telemarket because you piss them off every time you call. But I'm not good at it, so I never have done anything like that at all. I've never really done anything. So, seriously, I've done no manual labor in my life. If you look at my fingertips, they are as smooth as a baby's butt. Not that that's where those fingertips go. I'm just saying they are very smooth. I do nothing at all, nothing. And it's not that I'm entitled or anything like that, even though I really should be. It's not that. It's just that I really choose not to. And I know when I was a kid, and I explained this on the podcast about a month ago, as a kid, I mowed the lawn all the time, and that was because my father made me do it. That was child labor. They didn't have child labor laws then, and so I mowed the lawn. But I'd say since the age of 20, I have done nothing with my hands whatsoever, at all. I actually have somebody come in and jerk me off because I can't use my hands for that. I want my hands to be pristine. Anyway, so this Indian guy calls. Hi, kids. So this Indian guy calls me from India. Not the woo-woo-woo, you know. That was tremendously politically incorrect. But I'm doing a podcast. What the hell? On the air, it would be horrible. I probably would get a complaint or two about it. But podcast, I probably still get a complaint anyway. So he calls me. So apparently I have been selected. And by the way, if I turn this down, then the next caller will be selected and infinitum. And even if you accept it, everybody's been selected. Hey, everybody's selected. You know, on the computer, that little, you click the mouse and it says select all. That's the telemarketing bit. So apparently, my name has been selected to get a business loan, which means that I can get up to $50,000 in cash right now. Which sounds wonderful to anybody, but of course, the trick is, here's a little catch to that, you have to pay them back, and even worse than that, at a percentage rate that will blow your mother's mind. Yeah. You can borrow $50,000, but you have to pay us back $2,500,000. What? Oh, yeah. But you've been selected. You've been selected, though. You've been selected to go bankrupt to pay us. That's what you've been selected to do. You've been selected for us to ruin your lives. That's what we selected you. So I didn't go any further, and I said, I'm not interested. I'm not interested. And this little Gabby Indian, he just doesn't stop. And he's going. So I just hang up on him at that point. You know, I'm figuring, okay, you have a telemarketing job trying to feed your family. But now you're kind of crossing the line into causing me great hysteria. And here's the thing about telemarketing at home, ladies and gentlemen. I don't even remember why I started talking about this. This is the danger of what I do. Ron, it's so dangerous what you do. Oh my God, it's so dangerous. How can you podcast? It's so dangerous. Careful. Telemarketing, when someone calls you at your house, it's an invasion of your privacy. They're in your home, ladies and gentlemen. The audio portion of that person is in your home. Now, true, it's not that invasive because you could always hang up on them, but they have disrupted a pattern in your home. You got to understand, when you're in your house, man, that's your place. If you want to go get a sandwich, you go get a sandwich. You go, girl. If you have to pee, you go upstairs or downstairs or on the same level and pee your brains out. Just pee away. Pee away. You can do exactly what you want. And if you're busy watching a television show or engaged in conversation with your significant or insignificant other, it is nobody's business to interrupt you in any way, shape, or form, unless there's an emergency or something like that. But for the phone to ring and to disrupt what you were doing is an invasion of your privacy in your abode. Of course, you always have the opportunity not to pick up the phone. But then that little sucker just rings and rings and rings. So you've already been violated on an audio frequency. Now you're saying to me, Ron, you have a house phone? Well, yeah. Most people over the age of 25 do. Under 25, no, you don't. You don't know what a house phone is. And let me educate you. One day back in history, around the time of Napoleon Johnson, there used to be a phenomenon called the house phone. The house phone? What is this house phone of which you speak? Yeah, there was actually a phone in the house. Get this, kids. You're going to find this fascinating. There was an actual audio device telephone. A telephone? Why do you say tele in front of it? That's what they called it. And it plugged into your wall. What? Yeah, your house was like wired for this, like from the street. Wow. Yeah, and it was a device and you would pick it up and there would be people at the other end and you can have a phone conversation, telephone conversation with them. But it was connected to your home. What? A connection? Why would you be so tethered? I don't know, to be honest. I just don't know why. But that's what it was. And if you go back far enough, like really, really far to the times of Jesus, there was only one house phone. One phone? Yes, there was just one phone for the entire house. You're kidding me. I'm serious. And there were things called party lines. I don't understand what you're saying to me. Have I won something? No, a party line was like that in the entire neighborhood. I mean, there were so little phone line things that you could actually hear your neighbor's phone conversation. It actually got like spilled over onto your phone line. What are you, nuts? Are you telling me now you believe in alien beings and that 9/11 was a conspiracy? No, you're not understanding. This is the way it used to be. I don't understand you. So anyway, there are a lot of people who don't have house phones at all. But I think they have the same problem with what they call the celery phones, because you're inclined to answer those things as well. Perhaps even more so than the quote-unquote house phone, because the cell phones actually become a part of you. I don't know why I'm talking about this. I have no idea. The original point of the show, approximately 15 or 20 minutes ago, was just to remark that it was 9/11. That's all. That's it. And I don't know how I got onto this. So I apologize if it somehow breaches your contract or something or makes you feel uncomfortable. Welcome back to the show. That was a musical interlude. Did you enjoy that? It's kind of fun, wasn't it? Cool. It was sucker. Hey guys, let me ask you, how's your penis? Seriously, I'm not kidding you. I'm not trying to be nasty or like shocking or anything like that. But there is some penis news for men. You know, I've always found, I'm a guy. Hi. I've always found it terrifically unfair that guys, the only contraception that a guy has is to slap on a balloon. And that's pretty much it. It's really, it's not invasive at all. You're just slapping on a balloon. I mean, who doesn't do that at some point in their lives? Females have to be on the defense because they are the object of their affection. That is the insertion location. If I'm making somebody feel uncomfortable, you're welcome. So they have to protect themselves. It's more like defense. Men are offense. Females are defense. We're talking the heterosexual game of sex right now, by the way. Different rules for different types of sexual interaction. Anyway, females have to squeeze all kinds of things into their opening night. They have to squeeze gels in there, come in with cement trucks. They have to do chastity belts even at one point in our history. You can even have it like blocked, like with, I don't know. You have to put things in there. A guy doesn't have to put things in anything. He just puts things on. Like when the winter comes, you cover your barbecue, similar to that. So, and I was always thinking that's totally, totally unfair. And guys don't wear condoms no matter what. And it's just the whole sex thing is weird. You know, if you're having sex with a woman, the guy asks the woman, are you on birth control? Yes, I am. Okay, here I come. You know, it's like, I would say, let me see the documents. I want a list of all your gynecological visits. I want to see the receipts from Walgreens or...
Walgreens.
I want to see those receipts. I want proof. I want to talk to your gynecologist. And otherwise, no deal. Or I'm putting the balloon on. And guys hate to put the balloon on because the balloon gives you a lack of feeling. No matter how thin, what kind of lambskin, pigskin, goatskin, gerbil skin you can find, it still reduces the grandiose feeling. For which the men live for. And the woman, not so much. The woman just lays on her back and goes, whatever, whatever. Just get this over with. And please just be a little bit affectionate because that's what I'm here for. And she fakes everything. You know, she fakes the orgasm. She fakes, it's not even, she fakes the orgasm. She fakes the entire relationship. Entirely, the entire relationship. And they're good at it. All females should be actresses. They should have major parts in major films because they all do really, really well.
Did I satisfy you?
Oh, yeah.
Why, you didn't seem very satisfied.
Yeah, but I am.
All right. Did you really like it?
Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah, it was wonderful. It was fantastic. You're really something. Oh, I love you. Oh, baby. They're really very good at it. Guys, not so much. Guys, not at all. Not at all. Anyway, a writer for TechCitement, that's a magazine, I believe, went into more detail about how there's a gel, ladies and gentlemen. There's a gel, apparently, that a guy can use. And the gel is like for birth control. Here's the deal. There's a gel that's developed that the guy uses. It's injected into your private area, and it stops the sperm from, I don't know what the hell it does. It clings along the sides of the vas deferens,
which is the place where the, I think the sperm travels through there. And are you having breakfast? Good morning. And tears apart the man's sperm when it flows through. So there's some kind of gel tearing my sperm apart. The gel would last for at least 10 years before the procedure has to be repeated. What they do is they inject this gel into your, I think it's your penile colony. And you can have orgasm, but the sperm doesn't come out. Is that the medical term? The sperm doesn't come out? You're shooting blanks, baby. Earlier this month, the company behind Vasagel, V-A-S-A-L-G-E-L is the name of this thing. baboons had been each been placed in a pen with at least 10 female baboons, none of whom got pregnant. No, the female baboons did not get pregnant from the male baboons who had this injection of Vasagel. So gel is the future for male birth control. If you live in India, oh, cool, where the telemarketers are, you might already have access to this type of contraceptive. They already have it there. India is very interesting. You're either, and I'm not putting India down, I'm just trying to entertain you. You're one of two things in India, and they're kind of opposite each other. Either you're a telemarketer or you're a doctor. Phenomenal. A phenomenal spread of knowledge. It's like a kid's growing up, and the college counselor says, all right, what would you like to be? I would like to be a, I would like to own a drugstore. No, I'm sorry. No, can't do that. I would like to be a basketball player. No, you can't do that. I would like to own a business. No, can't do that. What can I do? You can either be a telemarketer or a doctor. I go for telemarketer. I'll take the telemarketer, please. I'll take the telemarketer for $200, Alex. The Male Contraception Information Project has info on a gel called RISUG, R-I-S-U-G, which is an acronym for Reversible Inhibition of Sperm Under Guidance. Seriously? It helped inspire this Vasagel gel. The World Health Organization, the WHO? The World Health Organization, who still hasn't approved RISUG, RISUG, but it is available to Indian men who live in within range of the testing facilities and agree to be tested. Though pills may still come into play, they're testing this birth control method besides on baboons, also on mice. If it all goes to plan, the pill would stop the muscles in the genitals from releasing sperm. This seems like a promising idea since the female form of the pill is incredibly popular. Females actually take a pill like this. So that's a pill. It's a contraceptive pill that men can take. So there you go. I mean, it's about time that men stepped up to the plate, so to speak. And now it's happening. Because, you know, men are faced with this problem all the time. They're faced with getting an operation to so that you can't have children anymore. Or you can't have effective sperm anymore. And that's an operation. You have to do a snip-snip deal. So this would be an injection that would stop the sperm as opposed to having invasive surgery. So that's the good news for men, the bad news for men. Apparently we're getting away from the balloon thing. And this is all in God's great world so that we can all screw around more. I don't know. I don't know what I'm talking about, quite obviously. If you don't realize that I don't know what I'm talking about, then you don't know what I'm talking about.
You're listening to The Big Show with Ron Van Dam. I wish I could listen to it too. But sometimes he says bad words.
That's not true, kid. That's not true.
Welcome back to the program, ladies and gentlemen. How you doing? Good to see you. Everybody's happy. Everybody's happy today. Everybody's happy. Everybody's having a good time. Everybody's happy. Everybody's happy. Did you know that there are rules and regulations to listening to this program, by the way? You can't just listen. Someday you're going to have to pay for this, but not right now. I have to get you hooked more so I become a part of your daily situation, which is not really easy for me to do, other than coming to your house and just like screaming at you, which you won't allow me to do. So instead, in order to get this thing for free every weekday, you have to play by the rules, kids.
This is the Ron Van Dam Show. Thank you for coming. Your waiter will be along shortly. Please be advised that the Ron Van Dam Show has been designated as a non-smoking area. Please watch your step while boarding the Ron Van Dam Show, as contents may have shifted during travel. In clinical studies, the Ron Van Dam Show has not been shown to reduce cholesterol in laboratory animals. Exits are located to the rear on the left and right sides of the auditorium. The sea bass is steamed and served with a white truffle risotto. Illinois residents add 5% sales tax. Shake before serving. If dizziness or swelling occur, stop using the Ron Van Dam Show immediately. Proper ID is required, no cover charge after 10 p.m. Moo. Listening to the Ron Van Dam Show may require you to lift objects weighing 15 pounds or more. Please remain seated until the Ron Van Dam Show comes to a complete stop.
I don't know if you know this, because I don't know if you know this, but you can contact me by email. And all you have to do is go to your email, whatever it is, and send it to Metro South Podcasting. If you can't spell that, then you shouldn't be emailing anybody. Metro South Podcasting at AOL.com. Yeah, I'm the only guy left that it does AOL. Yeah, it's just me. And that's Metro South Podcasting at AOL.com. Email me. Give me your thoughts, what you'd like to hear more of, what you'd like to hear less of, whatever, and we'd love to hear from you. And I say we, in the sense that you probably figure I have a staff of 20 people. Yes, that's accurate. Do you love your life? Well, here's the deal. There's an extreme solar flare that is blasting its way toward Earth. Oh my God, it sounds like a sci-fi movie, doesn't it? And it could mess up some power grids, satellites, and radio transmissions. Yeah, it's been several years since Earth has had a solar storm of this size coming from sunspots smack in the middle of the sun. This is Tom Berger is telling us this, which is, he's a very tasty guy, Tom Berger. He's director of the Space Weather Prediction Center in Boulder, Colorado. Well, congratulations. Nice job, Tom. At least you're not a telemarketer. Solar storms happen often, especially during peaks in the solar cycle, and don't directly harm people. Not directly, but your eyebrows get singed. I don't know. But what makes this one more worrisome is its location on the sun, along with its strength. There's been a giant magnetic explosion on the sun. Oh, cool. Now I feel secure. Because it's pointed right at us, will at least catch some of the cloud of highly energized and magnetized plasma that can disrupt Earth's magnetic sphere, which sometimes leads to temporary power grid problems. All right, I guess I can handle that. The concept of giant solar flares heading for Earth kind of makes it a little bit more impactful than what this guy is saying. It's like I look out the window and I see a giant ball of fire coming at my face. I guess that's not going to happen. Forecasters don't yet know when Wednesday's solar storm will arrive here. I guess it's taking a nonstop. And which part of the planet will be facing the sun and bear the brunt of the effects. It could arrive as early as Thursday morning, which is like this podcast day, or may take a few days. I'm glad they've got that pinned down tight.
When are you going to find death and destruction?
Thursday, maybe Sunday.
Okay.
What part of the planet? I don't know. I have no idea.
Will it kill us?
Yeah, probably.
Are we going to lose our lives?
For sure, yeah.
Is there anything we can do about it?
No, not really. No, not really. No. Actually, that's not happening. It's just power grid problems, apparently, and maybe some cell phone problems.
No, no, not the cell phones.
If you had a choice, there's going to be a horrible catastrophe. The world is going to end.
Oh, no.
Or there's going to be a solar flare, and it may affect cell phone communications.
No, not that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Berger, Tom Berger, said scientists will have a better idea after they get more satellite data. Well, of course, you have to wait for the satellite data. The first part of the storm, which arrives only... first part of the storm, which arrives in a few minutes, what? Has already affected radio transmissions. That's why I podcast. I don't want to be affected by solar flares. That's why I went to podcasting. I said to myself, Ron, you know, enough of this, like, terrestrial radio broadcasting stuff where you can be affected by solar flares. Ron, what you need to do is podcast on the internet so that that can't happen. And that's the choice I made for that very reason. The flare, the solar flare, is considered extreme on the forecaster's scale, but just barely so, Berger said. Berger talks. On the plus side, of course, of which there are many, solar flares expand the colorful northern lights so people farther south can see them. Oh, that's the good part. Ron, there's solar flares heading for your face. Oh, no. Is there any good news? Yeah, the northern lights are going to be kind of nicer. They'll be a little brighter. Oh, okay. All right, then. Then it's worth it. That's cool. Give me a break, huh? I think about this all the time because I have an overactive mind. You thought I was going to say overactive bladder, didn't you? And I was going to, but I thought that's so obvious, such an obvious joke. But I do have an overactive mind. I second guess everything. And if I'm good at what I do, it's because my mind is just all over the place, all the time, everywhere. And what I need is sedatives. But I don't take them. Anyway, and I haven't been, no diagnosis, and the prescription that's ready at Walgreens or at Walgreens is, it has nothing to do with that. But here's the deal. I do think, I don't know if I'm religious or not. I'm the jury's out on that right now still, because someday I'm going to need time to figure that part out. But I'll tell you something. Each day that I wake up and see the sunrise, and I'm serious about this, I say to myself, man, this is a gift. This is a treasure. Because anything, we're on this giant planet that just spins on its own, man. No batteries or anything like that. It just, like, does it. And here I have this little heart beating in my chest, and without that thing going, I won't know what the hell's going on. I won't be here. That's a magical thing. I don't have to plug myself in at night. I mean, some people do because they have pacemakers and stuff. But normally, I don't have to plug myself in at night. It just, like, goes for a period of time. It doesn't go forever. That's the bad part. But the northern lights look better. But it's just an amazing, I mean, just life is an amazing thing. I have three dogs, and I watch them run around, and I'm going, like, where are the batteries on these things? Where are the batteries? They seem to understand some stuff. They eat, they pee, in the wrong places. They pee in the wrong places. But it's amazing. These little things are just running around, and you don't plug them in. You don't have to plug them in. It's amazing. So life is fascinating, and my mind goes there a lot, and the sun comes up every day, and it goes down every day, and we exist every day, and there, and all these asteroids and comets and solar flares, and we're still here, and nobody, like, thinks, like, whoa, tomorrow could be, like, non-existence of everything, but it can. And so I have acceptance and thanks for this gift of life that I enjoy on a daily basis. It's a gift that probably will run out someday. I don't know when. It could be any minute. I don't know, or maybe not. I don't know that. I'm not privy to that information. So it's a mystery and a gift. And sometimes I think about that, how this tremendous setup of life, which we're all going through right now, is a gift. And when I think about the possibilities of not having it, it's unthinkable. And then when I think about bad people and evil people, I get mad. I'm like, why are you fucking this up? Why are you fucking this up? And I get mad at businesses who are drilling into the earth and creating trauma to the very earth, which spins, which supports our life system. And these power plants that are spewing nasty toxins into the air that we breathe, and we don't even yell about it enough. And all the polluting of our oceans, and the way that we treat other people, and how we take each other's lives for greed. It's just, I mean, the world should just be a sea of human beings saying, I'm astounded by the fact that I have the breath of life, and all these things around me do, and all these trees, and it should be like that, but it's not. It's people who want to take advantage of other people, and people who want to harm other people for their own pleasure, and people who want to pollute the air in order to make money so they can buy a boat or a private jet or something. Man, this life thing is to be treasured and embraced, not made fun of and expended. And all you people that go to these churches of all different denominations, $5 bills, $10 bills, and you pray to your deity, and then you go out and you screw up the earth, and you screw up society, and you cause trauma and death and destruction. I totally don't get it. That's the enigma to me, is how you're given this incredible gift and how most people just fuck it up. And I don't want to go preaching to you, because that's not my job. My job is to telemarket. But hey, every once in a while, I'm just going to throw it out there at you. You can change your life today. I don't care what you do for a living, or what your situation is with your family, or what your past has been like, what traumas you've dealt with throughout your life. Close your eyes, open them again. You've just started brand new. And all it takes is a change of attitude and appreciation for where you are and what you're doing, and not letting all these other scumbags all around you affect your life. Hey, and it's easier said than done. It's not easy to do, but you can start there. And I think it's a great, great way to do it. I know you didn't pay me to talk like this. You paid me to make you chuckle. And therefore, I shall not be doing so today, because I am pretty much defiant. I just want everybody to be happy. That's all I ever wanted as a kid. That's why I went into entertainment. This radio and television, and this crappy stuff, and this video stuff that I do. I just wanted to make people happy. Want to entertain. You probably know I do wedding videos on weekends. It's a major part of my income. And do I do it to make money? Sure. Sure. Because I have to pay bills too. But why do I really do it? Seriously. And I'm not kidding you around here. I really do it because when I'm videotaping people's weddings, they're freaking happy. They're smiling. They're dancing. They're celebrating. They're happy. They're happy. And I enjoy videotaping happy things. And a wedding is a happy thing. It's a little convoluted and a little delusional, but that's not my problem. But at that moment, they're happy. And I'm providing memories for them at their happiest times. So I'm cool with that. So I literally really want everybody to be happy.
Great. gray skies are gonna clear up, put on a happy face. Brush off the clouds and cheer up, put on a happy face. Take off the gloomy mask of tragedy, it's not your style. You look so good that you'll be glad you decided to smile. Pick out a pleasant outlook, stick out that noble chin. Wipe off that full of doubt look, slap on a happy grin. And spread sunshine all over the place. Just put on a happy face. Put on a happy face. Put on a happy face. And if you're...
All right, that's enough. Yeah, you know, what the hell. Let's go a little bit further here, shall we? By the way, in tomorrow's show, we're going to be talking to a fascinating person. And I'm talking fascinating people of personality. We're going to be talking to... who the hell are we talking to tomorrow? Where is she? Hold on a second, kids. Here we go. Paige Rawl. She is like 19 years old or something. She's very young, and she's in college. Maybe she's 17 or 18. I don't know. When she was very, very young, like 8 years old, her mother told her that she was HIV positive. She said, excuse me? She says, yeah, you were born that way, and we didn't tell you it, but you are. And it's not, you know, like horrible, horrible. This is back like in 2005 or 6 or something or whatever. And by then there was medication for this that could sustain you and you could actually live with being HIV positive, which she is, and she's doing very, very well. And as a matter of fact, she's testing now to the point where that's almost totally under control and almost and not active anymore. So thank God to her. But when she told her friends that she was HIV positive when she was in school, in it would be grade school, I suppose, when she did that, or yeah, grade school. Her friends immediately abandoned her. They didn't want her touching them. They didn't want her near them. And it's all that Magic Johnson basketball stuff. But this was, you know, fairly recent in history. And she was traumatized by it to the point where she lost all her friends because they thought that she had cooties. And eventually it turned into bullying where they were actually aggressive and teased her like she was some type of incredible outcast. It got really bad for her. She even thought about committing suicide and such because she didn't want to live anymore. She turned it around by making people aware of bullying and how people treat each other. And now she lectures all over the country. She's going to college right now. Paige Rawl is her name. She's a hero in that sense. She's what she... Her childhood just got all messed up with this information. She's going to join us tomorrow on the program, so I think that'll be kind of fascinating. But right now, I love food as much as I love you. Well, maybe food a little bit more. And I spoke earlier to Leticia Marinos. She is a Hispanic chef. You may be familiar with her. She's written many cookbooks. She appeared on Today Show and all these morning shows all the time on a national basis. And we're talking about cooking healthy, especially if you have type 2 diabetes. And she joins us now. Play this interview that we recorded just a little bit earlier. We're speaking to celebrity chef Leticia Marinos. Good morning.
Good morning, Ron. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
It's a pleasure to speak to you. What a great chef you are. And apparently we're going to be talking about some ideas for those that may be concerned about diabetes.
That is correct. I have a very personal connection with this topic. My grandfather died from complications of type 2 diabetes.
Right.
So I know how serious the disease can be. And you know, Ron, there is an alarming fact here. Our Hispanic community were twice as likely to be diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, more so than any other non-Hispanic white.
Oh. Wow.
You know, that's why I'm partnering with Merck on this campaign called DesafiandoLaDiabetes.com, and our goal is to really empower the Latin community in this country to take control over type 2 diabetes.
And I assume that even if that is not a situation for somebody or they're not concerned about that physical attribute, that still eating with that mindset is still a very healthy way to eat anyway.
Oh, absolutely, Ron. It's all about lifestyle. And, you know, that's my job as a chef. I am putting all of my efforts to adapt traditional dishes from the Latin cuisine mm-hmm. and make them more diabetes friendly. Because nobody wants to give up on eating the ingredients that we love and eating the traditional dishes,
right.
you know, that we love. So it's a very important part.
Yeah. How much of a difference can it make in one's life when they eat properly? We're talking about type 2 diabetes, which is really, like, so common. It's really amazing. It seems to me that half the population of everybody over 40 years old has this. I could be off, but that's what it seems like to me.
No, in fact, you are right on spot. And you just mentioned probably the most important part of it. You know, as I became more involved in this program, I learned that half of the people with diabetes, they're not at their A1C goal, mm-hmm. which is so important to the overall diabetes management plan.
Yeah.
Are you, Ron, familiar with the terminology for A1C?
No, but tell our listeners about it.
Well, the A1C is really a blood test mm-hmm. that doctors use to find out your average blood sugar levels
yep.
over a period of 2 to 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And with that test, you and your doctor can look at the overall diabetes treatment plan and really evaluate if that's working mm-hmm. well for you or not.
Right.
And, you know, getting and staying at your goal numbers, it's essential, is the key to help reduce the risk of complications from type 2 diabetes.
Right. And I assume that many of the recipes that we'll find are perfectly wonderful, and it's not a question of cutting yourself out of certain enjoyments in life, that they can just be modified.
Absolutely. And like I said, that's what I did to the recipes. I hope that, you know, our listeners can, you know, be delighted by the kind of work that I'm doing with mm-hmm. the recipes, because really I take recipes that are very traditional, that have an important cultural value,
yep.
you know, especially to the Latin community. And I make them, you know, diabetes friendly, and also it's a lot healthier.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the kind of recipes that, you know, it's good for the whole family. One of the worst things that you can do when you have type 2 diabetes is isolate a member of the family. So we really want to encourage people to
Good.
Cook for the whole family, you know.
Now, there's a website I assume we can go to get some of these recipes.
That is correct. The website is called DesafiandoLaDiabetes.com, and you can use it as an education center. You can really learn about the importance of your A1C. You know, and one of the things, Ron, that we really encourage on our campaign is for people to visit with their doctor and come up with a plan that's mm-hmm. right for you.
Right.
You know, managing your diet may be one part of your treatment plan, and, you know, exercise is another part, and medication,
sure.
too, if appropriate.
Right.
But the one thing that we also want people to understand is, because diabetes is a progressive disease, changes might be necessary to help you stay
yeah.
at your A1C goal. And you really want to work with your doctor, you know, and monitor that plan very close and create a close relationship with your doctor,
yes.
you know, so that you can monitor the numbers for your A1C. Because like I said, that is really the key to control type 2 diabetes.
Absolutely. I know that you're doing this National Hispanic Heritage Month is coming up, or is it here? Is it in September?
It is September.
It's in September.
It is September.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, besides that, I mean, I always say on this show that, my goodness, you've got to see your doctor on an annual basis, at least for most people, and annually is enough. But I know so many people that just haven't been to a doctor in like 3 to 5 years because they feel okay. And I say to them, man, you don't understand. You don't get it.
Correct. And if you have type 2 diabetes, going once a month is not nearly the ideal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially with the A1C test.
Yeah.
Like I said, it really needs to be monitored on a three-month, you know, 2 to 3 month basis.
Right.
And it's very important that you have that, you know, relationship with the doctor, you know, to look at those numbers.
Yes. Well, I also have a very strong relationship with food. We've been getting getting along together since I was born. And I'm looking forward to some recipe ideas so that I can be healthy, feel better, and just, you know, everything pulls together. Once more, that website.
DesafiandoLaDiabetes.com.
Okay,
I'll spell that for you.
Yes.
It's DesafiandoLaDiabetes. DesafiandoLaDiabetes.com.
When you say it, it sounds so much better than if I tried to. We enjoy your cooking and your appearances all over the place. Continue the good work. Thank you for bringing this to our attention as well as Merck. And it's been a pleasure speaking to you. Thanks, Letitia. Very, very nice. Oh, wonderful. I'll be back tomorrow with another podcast. And I hope you join me then. I really do. You're wonderful people and all that kind of stuff. Bye, 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 bye. Be good to yourself. Be nice. Be good to other people. And have yourself a wonderful day. Bye, everybody. Bye. Go away now. Go do something else. Go get something to eat or something. Go take a shower. Go plant a tree in Israel. Do something nice for somebody, then do more things for yourself that are even nicer. Get your oil changed. Put on a happy face.